Good afternoon. Let's go ahead and begin. This is a public rulemaking hearing held in accordance with the State Administrative Procedure Act, Section 244.103, et cetera, in Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is Friday, November 30th, 2007, and the time is 2:05 p.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room on the second floor of the Office of the Secretary of State, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm conducting the hearing on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Kaufman. The other people at the table I'd like to introduce as well. To my immediate left is Andrea Geiger, who is a legal specialist with the Elections Division of the Secretary of State's office. To my immediate right is Christy Hebbard, who is the program lead for the Secretary of State's campaign finance section in the Elections Division. And then to my far right is Melody Morbaba, who is an assistant attorney general who represents the Secretary of State. The purpose of the meeting today is to receive comments from the public on proposed amendments to the Secretary of State's rules on campaign and political finance. The, as stated in the notice of rulemaking that was published on November 10th, 2007, the amendments concern a number of issues relating to answering some of the questions that have come up that have been posed to the Secretary of State's office, and also to help implement some legislation that was adopted in the 2007 regular session of the General Assembly. I would like to spend a few minutes kind of going over the rule changes for the record, and also just to try to explain a little bit of the background on some of the proposals. I should mention that the Secretary of State works with an advisory committee of lawyers and other interested parties in the area of campaign finance, and just about everything, and possibly everything, but just about everything that's proposed for consideration today has been discussed and considered by the advisory committee, possibly with the exception of some technical amendments that might have not have been specifically discussed by the advisory committee. With that, let me just kind of go through some of the rule changes and the background and purpose. There are several rule amendments that are proposed that are really just technical corrections and clarifications. And those include amendments, an amendment to Rule 1.1 that corrects an internal reference to the rules, an amendment to Rule 2.11 to correct an omission in that rule. Rule 3.10 is kind of a technical correction to try to clarify. This is a recently adopted rule, but we're trying to clarify the meaning and just clean up the rule a little bit. There's a technical amendment to Rule 4.2 just to deal with the fact that that rule now should deal with manual filings instead of all filings. And then a proposed technical amendment to Rule 9.2 that I believe is intended to reference the term spending that was, I believe that was from House Bill 1074, the bill that deals with 527 organizations, I believe. There's also proposed amendments to Rule 2.4 that currently just that requires political committees to political committees and small donor committees to identify the candidates being supported or opposed. And in discussions in the office and with the advisory committee, it was mentioned that a lot of political committees may not know the specific candidates that are going to be supported or opposed when they register. So the rule would also allow political committees and small donor committees, in lieu of identifying the candidates, instead identify the types of candidates being supported or opposed, such as to support Republican candidates for State House of Representatives or something like that. Amendments, the proposed amendments to Rule 4.20, as I recall, those came about because of a question that was raised by a member of the legal staff of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, and if it may be corrected by folks at the table, but this rule was adopted earlier in the year to implement House Bill 07-1074, which deals with political organizations. What's defined in the bill as political organizations, but it's commonly referred to as 527 organizations. And the original rule required those political organizations to report only contributions of $20 or more. The staff attorney for Legislative Legal Services wonders if that is an accurate interpretation of the bill, and specifically what is now Section 1-45-108.5, which requires those political organizations to report, and I'm quoting, any contributions it receives, comma, including the name and address of each person who has contributed $20 or more. The proposed rule for discussion would delete from the existing rule the $20 threshold, reporting threshold. And so it seems to me that from what I've seen so far, this may be somewhat ambiguous, and but that's why it's before us today for consideration. Then there is a proposed new rule 9.5, and it's proposed at present in the form of three different alternatives. And the subject has to do with political committees and small donor committees and candidate committees, political organizations that might make an electioneering communication expenditure. And the question is, under what circumstances would they have to file separate electioneering communication expenditure reports, or could they, in some circumstances, simply include that expenditure in their regular campaign finance disclosure reports? And the three different alternatives reflect what I think was some discussion in our advisory committee, which I don't recall had any clear consensus. One of the approaches that has been suggested, and it's really listed as alternative number three, is to address the issue by repealing Rule 9.3, which is a rule that currently requires that in an electioneering communication report, the name of the candidate referred to must be reported. And that requirement is something that does not appear in Article 28 of the Constitution. There's some question about whether the Secretary of State should or has the authority to require that additional item. I think that rule has existed for quite some time under the theory that without knowing what candidate the electioneering communication is about, the report would be missing a very critical piece of information. But by repealing that, it may eliminate the issue that came up about separate reporting, because there and really the issue came up, I think, in a recent campaign finance case involving the Committee for the American Dream, in which the judge, the administrative law judge that was addressing an issue in this area, looked at Rule 9.3 and basically concluded, and I hope this is accurate, that and was this a political committee, I believe, political committee, could not satisfy the reporting requirement, the electioneering communications reporting requirement. simply by including that expenditure on their regular reporting, because Rule 9.3 requires something that the regular report does not require, namely the name of the candidate. And so my understanding is that, you know, that issue might go away if Rule 9.3 were repealed. The other two alternatives are kind of variations on a theme that would retain Rule 9.3, but would allow committees to report electioneering communications on the regular reporting if they, I think in the first alternative, if they do identify the expenditure as an electioneering communication and include the name of the candidate referred to. In any event, that's been a source of ongoing discussion, and so those are the three alternatives that are proposed for consideration. And I think, one more thing. There's also a proposed amendment to Rule 2.8, I believe. The 2.8. Oh, sorry. Which deals with federal PACs, federal political committees. Again, this has been discussed in an advisory committee, and it relates to a provision in these Fair Campaign Practices Act Section 1-45-108. I think this is right, 3.5? Yes, 3.5, that says that a federal political committee can file, doesn't have to separately file and separately register in Colorado if it files a copy of its registration with the Secretary of State, but it's subject to all other legal requirements. And it's unclear what that means, what the statutory requirement means that those committees are subject to all of the legal requirements. And really, this is probably something that needs to be addressed by statute. But in the meantime, the proposal here is that the rule take the most, what I think is probably the most restrictive interpretation, that all other legal requirements would include those things under Colorado law that we think that possibly could fit under that term, and that is the requirement under Colorado law that there be itemization of contributions and expenditures of $20 or more, that the occupation and employer of a contributor for a contributor who contributes more than $100 must be disclosed, that the federal PACs would have to observe the Colorado contribution limits, and the federal PACs would have to comply with the Colorado requirement that the funds be deposited into a separate account. So this, again, I think the statute really needs to be changed, but in the meantime, we do have questions, and that the idea was to go ahead and take a pretty restrictive interpretation and then perhaps seek some guidance from the legislature. So that's kind of an overview of the reasons why these proposals are before us for discussion today. There is a sign-up sheet on the table by the back door for anybody who wishes to testify. Please do sign up. And I'll turn to public testimony. I should have mentioned that, of course, this is a formal rulemaking hearing, and it's recorded and it's broadcast over the Internet. And when you testify, please identify who you represent, if anyone. So the first name I have on the sign-up sheet is Elena Nunez. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you. Please. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Elena Nunez. I'm the program director with Colorado Common Cause. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization working for open and accountable government in Colorado. Appreciate the opportunity to comment on these rules today. First on Rule 2.4 regarding purposes of committees, We don't oppose amending this rule to allow political committees or small donor committees to list the types of candidates being supported or opposed. However, we do feel it's important that the reporting is still descriptive enough to be meaningful and would encourage that committees, where possible, do list the names of candidates if they're known. Second, for Rule 9.5 about electioneering communications, we encourage the Secretary of State to adopt Alternative 1. Article 28 of the Colorado Constitution requires that reports be filed when expenditures on electioneering communications exceed $1,000. We support a rule that would allow these reportings to be done as part of the regular filing. It's important, however, that the directive is clear so that committees report the same information as currently required by the electioneering communications report. Specifically, the report must include the name of the candidate and that the expenditure is an electioneering communication. Without this requirement in the rule, it's possible that the disclosure requirements for electioneering communications won't be met through the regular filing process. And then finally, on Rule 2.8 regarding federal PACs, we support this rule as it's proposed by the Secretary of State. We believe the rule makes it clear that the federal PACs filing with the FEC rather than the Secretary of State's office must still follow the disclosure requirements set forth in Colorado law when they make contributions to Colorado candidates. Thank you very much, and I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Does anyone have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next on my sign-up list is Mark Gruskin. Mr. Gruskin, if you'd like to come forward and introduce yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Hobbs. My name is Mark Gruskin. I'm an attorney, and in this matter, I have just a couple stream of consciousness thoughts, so I guess I represent myself, but I also have a written comment that I'd like to submit on behalf of the Colorado Education Association.
Okay, thank you.
Also the LCIF.
Okay.
Let me hand that written comment to you.
Thank you.
I understand. Let me address what's on the page that I've handed you for Rule 4.20. I understand that there could have been confusion over the current language of 4.20. I guess I have to plead guilty because I think it came from my suggestion at the last meeting. So I apologize for the confusion it might have caused. I am concerned only that the revision might also create confusion, and it basically comes down to this. I think the problem you're trying to fix is to make sure that all contributions, that is, all dollars, are reported, that there isn't some subset that's carved out, and I understand that. The rule is drafted, though, does not make it clear, as the statute does, that you still wouldn't have to report the names and addresses of the de minimis contributions of $20 or less. And because the statute is clear, or the statute is express on this, but the rule doesn't address it, I would hate to end up in a campaign finance matter for that purpose. So at the bottom of our page, and I've cited at the top the statute itself and underscored those provisions that would certainly support a defense that level of reporting has been legislatively determined not to be required. I would just suggest that for purposes of clarity and to avoid unnecessary litigation, that you perhaps add a paragraph that basically just says, using the wording of the statute, that even though all the contributions have to be reported, only those contributors who exceed the $20 per reporting period amount would have to be reported. And that way, not that there would ever be a frivolous campaign finance complaint, of course, but in the event that someone might consider it, this would have to find another door to walk through. On behalf of, you know, myself as a practitioner and not on behalf of any client, let me just make a couple of comments. Rule 9.2 and Rule 9.5 both speak of expenditures and spending for electioneering communications. And I'm a little unclear. I understand why the clarification to 9.2 has to be made, and I certainly understand why spending would be in there to reference electioneering communication. But since expenditure is defined by the Constitution as being payments for express advocacy, and since an electioneering communication is something short of express advocacy. Do you really need the term expenditure in there? And in fact, might it not be sending a confusing signal? And I frankly should have caught that in terms of Rule 9.2 when it first came in front of you, but didn't. But this was a source of major debate in and around the construction of House Bill 1074, as I understand it. I was not part of that, obviously, the legislative debate. But I did sit in on committee hearings, and I don't believe that I testified, but this issue of what spending and why spending needs to be defined, because it is the term that's used in the Constitution. And I just think that the use of the term expenditure might, again, give rise to unnecessary campaign finance complaints. Strictly speaking, there is no such thing as an expenditure on electioneering communication. So I raised that just as a general matter, really, for all your regulations, but it jumped out at me here because you were clarifying 9.2. And as to Rule 2.8, without weighing in on the merits or lack of merits, it does seem to me that even your revision, which does answer some questions, leaves open the question of whether or not an entity with a federal PAC may take contributions that meet the Colorado requirements that are given to its federal PAC, place them in a separate account, and attribute those to Colorado activity, or whether or not somehow they have to meet A and B of your test, that all those reports have to be made to the FEC as well. So, and I don't have language for you, but it does seem to me that if the idea here is to ensure that the disclosure requirements are met and the potential under subparagraph D for a separate account is there, you may be able to achieve what you need to achieve as a federal PAC just by putting the amounts that qualify under Colorado law into a separate account and allow those amounts to be spent in Colorado. And those could be part of a federal PAC. It would seem to me then you would not have to make the choice as a federal PAC whether or not you are simultaneously filing information that doesn't need to be filed at the FEC and creating this other infrastructure. But that's a policy decision. It's here to suggest to you that maybe there's a way to kind of finalize that language that'll achieve everything you want to achieve.
Can I ask a question about that? So I might be missing part of what you're saying, but part of what I hear you saying, I think, is that maybe the federal PAC could accept contributions from Colorado sources in excess of Colorado limits if we could clarify that they then could allocate a portion to a Colorado account that is within the contribution limits for Colorado and then only spend that for Colorado activities?
Well, I wasn't saying that, but that is an option.
Oh, okay.
That's definitely an option. What I was saying is if the limit, obviously for Colorado political committees, $500 every 2 years, contributions that meet that amount that come from natural persons or even corporations, I guess, contributions that meet that ceiling could be placed in a separate segregated account. That would meet all the criteria for a Colorado political committee. Those amounts could be spent in Colorado, and then the appropriate reports could be made. I guess I'm just not sure why you have to make reports that you don't currently have to make to the FEC in order to have activity in Colorado. Why couldn't you just have that separate account and make the appropriate reports here in Colorado as to that separate account? But you're right, too, Mr. Hodge. You could take contributors and allow them to allocate up to their permitted amount and put that into the segregated account. Obviously, as you pointed out, there are a variety of options, and I'm not here to suggest to you that one's necessarily better than the other, but I just don't want to leave any unanswered questions by this.
And under the scenario you're describing, then for Colorado reporting purposes, the federal PAC would report just the Colorado account activities and the money and so forth. What do they report to the FEC under that scenario?
Well, they might also be copying the FEC on the Colorado report, but they wouldn't have to. For instance, at the beginning of a cycle, a federal PAC doesn't know whether or not it's going to engage in Colorado-specific activity. It may not know that till 4 months before the election, at which point it hasn't been reporting in compliance with the Colorado reporting requirement. So it really can't undertake Colorado activity under this scenario. You'd really have to decide at the beginning of an election cycle that you know you're going to get involved mm-hmm. in Colorado. And then you'd have to change your whole federal reporting system to meet the Colorado requirements, even though the federal government doesn't require that.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to find some way that, you know, if a decision gets made after the beginning of an election cycle, that the appropriate information all still is made available at the Colorado level, but it is not so burdensome that those kind of midstream decisions can't be made.
Okay.
And like Ms. Nunez, I'm not arguing that people be permitted to evade the contribution limits, but as mm-hmm. you point out, there are two or three different ways. They could either make a contribution that, and that contribution solely meets the limit, or there could be an allocation from another contribution. And that individual or that company or entity would be fully reported.
Okay.
But those are just some random thoughts that, without any sort of clarifying language.
Okay. Thank you. Did you have anything else? Then, any questions? Thank you. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify. I'd like to leave the rulemaking record open until the close of business on this coming Monday, December 3rd. So if anyone wishes to provide comments on the proposed rules, please provide them in writing to the Secretary of State's office by the close of business on Monday. And I would suggest that they be emailed or faxed, but preferably emailed to Andrea Geiger in our office. And I believe the email address is Andrea.Geiger, G-Y-G-E-R, at sos.state.co.us. So I don't think there's anything further, and so we'll adjourn the meeting. The time is 2:33 p.m. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.